Can you
You have to unmute yourself for me to hear you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. Morning.
It's a blessing.
I'm glad to see everyone today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Glad to be seen.
Good to be seen.
Good morning, Velma and everybody.
Yeah, good morning, Carolyn and everybody.
Good morning.
Morning. There's Sister Kathy Piper.
And good morning. And Dwayne says good morning, too.
Well, tell Dwayne good morning.
Praise the Lord.
I am glad to see everyone. I hope you have your Bibles.
Oh, yes.
And a pen and paper.
Oh, yes.
Good morning. This is Sharon.
Morning, Sharon.
Hey, everybody.
Good morning, Sharon. Wendell.
Hello.
It is 8:59, so you all know when that clock hit 9, I will be starting.
Amen.
Because we need every minute of our hour, 55 minutes. Good morning, Michael. Michael, what state are you in?
Michael, I'm in California.
You're in California.
Okay. Oakland, California.
All right. 9 o'clock. Okay, here.
7 o'clock out here. Wow.
Yeah. That meant Michael had to get up. Okay, let's see here. Okay, good morning, everyone. It is good to see you on this another day that the Lord has made. And this is, I believe, July 26, 2020. So time is marching on. And we are marching on in our study of the gospel according to Luke. And today we will be continuing in Luke chapter 9, which is our home-based scripture for now. It's Luke chapter 9. So I hope that you all have your Bibles. You know you need your Bibles. And it's good to have pen and paper. You also need to listen with both ears. We want to be attentive. We don't want to half pay attention. We want to listen with both ears. So we pray the Spirit of God to help us to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. If there are any first timers with us, I am Velma Jean Sanders, the teacher of the Contemporary Bible class at Salem Baptist Church, where Sister Marcia Hall is the Life Development Sunday School Ministry Leader, and Reverend Dr. Selwyn Q. Backus is the pastor. And if there are any first timers to this Zoom class this morning, I welcome you. Now, we have several states that are tuning in with us, joining in with us, so we're glad that you are here. And all of us from Nebraska welcome you, regardless of whatever state you may be in. Last week, I was blessed to find out that we also had two people from London that were part of our Zoom class, London, England. So I encourage you to continue to invite others to be part of the class. Just send them the information, the Zoom information, meeting ID number. And regardless of whether they have if they have internet connection, of course, they can join in with Zoom. But also, if they don't have internet, they can dial in with the phone number. So encourage others to attend, regardless of wherever they may live. All are invited to our class. Everybody needs the Word of God, saint and sinners. All of us all need God's Word. So we're going to continue this morning with Luke chapter 9. I also would like to say, if I do not have your email address, and this is especially true for newer people to our class, please send me your email address. My email address is V, as in victory, V Sanders, S-A-N-D-E-R-S, 875 at centurylink.net. And I have put that address on the chat. So please send me your email address. Okay, we're going to continue this morning in Luke chapter 9. Let's open up with prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you, Lord, for a new day that you made, and then you put us in your day. And we want to say thank you, Lord. We offer unto you praise, for you have said that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And so we do that. We praise you. We extol you. We bless your name. We give you glory. We say hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you. You are just such a good God. And we worship you in the beauty. We pray in the beauty of holiness. We ask you now to forgive us of our sins and anything that would keep us from hearing from you. We pray, dear Lord, forgive. We pray, Lord God, that we would be in fellowship with you. We thank you for our relationship with you as our Father and we your children. But we want to be in good standing with you and we want to be in blessed fellowship with you. So we just thank you for your word, Lord. We need your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We ask you now to be our teacher. Use me in your service. I yield myself to you as a servant. Use me in your service, Lord, and open up to us the word of life. And we'll be careful. We pray for one another too, Lord. All the needs of everyone in this class, them and their families, jobs, everything that concerns everyone in this class. We lift up all prayer concerns, all needs to you. And we ask you, Lord God, to see about us as you have promised. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, Luke chapter 9 is where we're continuing. I will start out. I think I'll start out this morning. Let's read our passage. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 18 through verse 22. Luke chapter 9, verse 18 through 22. I use the New King James Version of the Bible. Most of you know that. If you happen not to have a New King James Version, you can get it online. They are online. Bible Gateway is a good place to go, a good website. And you can also find them in stores. You don't even have to go to a Bible store to find a New King James. You can usually find one at a lot of stores. So that's the version I use. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him. And he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" that I am. So they answered and said, "John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." So that is our passage of study. We say amen to the word of God. So that's where we'll be studying from. On last week, we started the topic, the Christ of God, part one. And I encourage you, if you were not in attendance to last week's class, that you can hear it on my website, www.godswordalive.net. And I encourage you to listen to last week's broadcast, The Christ of God, Part 1. Today will be The Christ of God, Part 2. And as I said on last week, this is a vast study. It begins in Genesis chapter 3, continues all the way to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. The very last chapter of the Bible. And let's turn to that right now. Revelation 22. And I want to go to this because I want you to know there is no way we can have an extensive study on the Christ of God. However, as I said on last week, as Christians, we all need to be aware, what do we mean when we say Jesus Christ is Lord. Or when we say Christ Jesus, what do we mean by Jesus? What do we mean by Christ? What do we mean by Lord? Now, the title Christ, that thread starts in Genesis, goes all the way through the Bible, Jesus being the Christ. And it goes all the way to the very last chapter of the Bible. And if you notice, if you have a red letter Bible, in verse 20, Revelation 22, verse 20, if you have a red letter Bible, these are the last words of Jesus Christ in the Bible. And his last words to mankind is, "Surely I am coming quickly." And that is his last words to let us know, "I am coming, surely, and I'm coming quickly." But his next to last words are found in verse 16. Jesus's next to last words in the Bible are found in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. And even in this next to last verse, we see Jesus and his role, his title, his position as the Christ is even mentioned here in Revelation 22, verse 16. Jesus signs the book, as it were, "I, Jesus." And I say he's putting his signature on the account of the revelation. He is signing this entire canon of the Bible, and he is summing up, and he says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches." Jesus is talking about himself, and Jesus Christ says, "I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." And as we learned on last week, when Jesus, when David is mentioned, that is in association with the Davidic covenant where Christ is king. And so Jesus Christ, this thread of him being the Christ, the king, the offspring of David, flows all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And so I just wanted you to see that from the beginning, Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, where Jesus lets us know he is the offspring. He's coming, lineage, lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the offspring. He is the anointed Christ, the anointed king. Well, let's go back to Luke. So we're continuing today on the Christ of God. And what we found out on last week, we spent a lot of time last week talking about what do we mean when we say Jesus Christ is Lord, or when we say the Lord Jesus Christ. So we found out the name Jesus. That was Jesus's and is. That was the name that Jesus was given by his Father when God became a man. When Jesus Christ became incarnate, became a man, his name was Jesus. And the name Jesus means Savior. And we went to that scripture last week where we saw, "And his name shall be called Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And so the name Jesus has to do with Savior. Whenever you hear that the name Jesus, you know immediately this has something to do with saving, with salvation. Well, how does he save? Well, we found out it was through his work on Calvary's cross, where Jesus shed his blood on the cross at Calvary to save us from what? Save us from sin. And so Jesus is Savior from sins by shedding his blood on Calvary's cross. He saves us from the penalty of sin. He saves us from the power of sin. He will ultimately save us from the presence of sin. In every way, Jesus came to save us, to redeem us from sin. So Jesus has to do with Savior, the cross, the blood of Jesus as the payment, the sacrifice for sin, Jesus enduring the wrath of God on the cross on our behalf, and also the burial and the empty tomb, the resurrection. And so when we hear the name Jesus, Savior, but we often hear Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. And sometimes the Bible just says Christ. So what do we mean when we say Christ? And as I mentioned last week, one of our many titles as believers is Christians. We are called Christians. And that is our faith and the general name for believers and followers of Christ is Christians. And so the very title Christ is in our name, Christians. So if anyone ought to know what Christ means, it should be Christians. And we found out on last week that Christ has to do with Messiah. Christ is Messiah. Messiah is Christ. Messiah being the Hebrew name, the Hebrew title. So when you hear Christ, it's the same thing as Messiah. Messiah is Christ. And the word Christ means the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one by God to be the Messiah, the Christ. Now, when you hear Jesus, you think of the cross. When you hear Christ, from now on, whenever you hear Christ, what is associated with Christ? King and kingdom. The title Christ has to do with the king. Jesus is the king, and he has a kingdom. And so Christ is Messiah, the anointed one, the king who reigns and has a throne. That is what, when you hear Christ, always associated that with kingdom. And so Jesus, Savior, Christ, Messiah, King. But then we also say Jesus Christ is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus, Savior, cross, Christ, Messiah, King, throne. When we hear the name, the title, Lord, God, Jesus Christ is God. He is Lord. He is God. The Godhead, there is one God. We serve one God. There is one true and living God. And one God in three persons. Jesus is God. I and my Father are one. But Jesus is also the second person of the Godhead. He is the Son of God. And so we have found out Jesus means Savior, associated with the cross and the empty tomb. Christ, Messiah, is associated with king, kingdom, and a throne. Lord is, Jesus is God, the Son of God. So last week, let's look at Luke chapter 1. We read this verse on last week, but let's look at it again because my goal today, we have a lot to do today. My goal today is to go through the Luke passages where Christ is mentioned as, Jesus is mentioned as the Christ. Well, we found out in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, Luke chapter 1, verse 31, and it reads, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb." Now, this is Gabriel talking, the angel Gabriel talking to Mary, Luke 1, 31. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." So we see right there, she shall bring forth a son, capital S, Son of God. He is Lord. This is not just saying, Mary, this is your baby. This is the Son of God. And call his name Jesus, Savior. But then the angel went on in verse 32, and even though the title Christ is not there, and it does not say Messiah, it does not say Christ, but this is talking about the Christ, because verse 32 says he will be great. Well, Jesus is great in whatever manifestation he's in, whether it's Jesus, whether it's Christ, whether it's Lord, he shall be and he is great. But then it says, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne. Now, you know, from our study, that's the Christ. God the Father will give him. Now that's important, and you'll see more and more why as we proceed in our study. It is the Father God who will give him the throne of his father, that's that Jewish lineage, of his father David, and that Davidic covenant. And he will reign, Christ, over the house of Jacob. How long shall he reign over the house of Jacob? Israel, forever. But his reigning, his rule, his kingdom is not limited to Israel. He also shall rule, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And so Jesus is king of the Jews, but Jesus will be king of the world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all the kingdoms of this world. That's in Revelation, also part of the Hallelujah chorus. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And so Jesus, the Christ, he receives that from his Father God, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So that's in Luke chapter 1. But then we went over to Luke chapter 2. So let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning at, we're just going to look at verse 11. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Luke chapter 2, verse 11, and it says, for there is born to you. Now, this is the angels were talking to the shepherds who were out in the field. Luke chapter 2, verse 11, there is born to you this day in the city of David. There's David again. And whenever you hear David, you think of the throne, the king, the Christ. For there is born to you this day in the city of David. And now we're going to see all three names, titles, a Savior, Jesus, who is Christ, Messiah, the Lord God. Okay, so there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ, the Lord. And as I said on last week, when you think of the Old Testament tabernacle, and all its beautiful coverings that had those three colors in it, blue, purple, and scarlet. And they were interwoven together to make one covering, one veil, blue, purple, scarlet. And so it is with Christ. These three beautiful threads that come together as one in the person of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, we see, is called the Christ as a baby. Now, remember, this is the birth of Jesus. But let's go on over to Luke chapter 2, verse 26. And when we look at Luke chapter 2, verse 26, we see there, Luke chapter 2, verse 26. And when we look at, let's start at verse 25. Now, Jesus as the man, the divine man, but nevertheless a man, born a baby, a child, but he's growing. And so in Luke chapter 2 here, Jesus is now 8 days old. In verse 21, you see, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child. So the child now in Luke chapter 2 here is now 8 days old. But we go over to verse 25. And verse 25 tells us, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So there it is again, Jesus is the Lord's Christ. He is the anointed one by God the Father. He is the Lord's Christ. And so Simeon, when Jesus was 8 days old, Simeon saw the Christ. He saw the Lord's Christ. Now you don't hear any more again about Jesus being called the Christ. that kind of drops off the scene for a while. And you don't hear any more about Jesus being called the Christ until we get to chapter 4. So let's go to chapter 4, which may not seem like a lot of time to us, because you think, well, we were in chapter 2. Now we're going to chapter 4. That's only chapter 2, 3, 4. But actually, it's over 30 years that have transpired. When you go from Luke chapter 2 to Luke chapter 4, it's over the span of 30 years. So when we go to Luke chapter 4, we don't hear any more about Jesus being called the Christ until we get to Luke chapter 4, verse 41. Luke chapter 4, verse 41. Now, verse 41 says, and this is the Luke chapter 4, verse 41. It says, and demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, now these are demons crying out. And look at what they said. They said, the demons recognized, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Now the demons acknowledged, recognized, knew Jesus as the Christ. Now notice what they leave out. They do not say he's the Savior. He is the Savior. Yes, he is the Savior, but they recognized in him in his role as king. They recognized him in him, Jesus Christ, in his role as ruler, the one who has the throne, the one who has power over them. And so the demons cried out, you are the Christ, the Son of God. They recognized his rulership. They recognized he is God. You and they knew they had no hope for a savior. They didn't say nothing about a savior because that there is no, they're not going to be saved. And so they go, the demons say, you are the Christ, you are the Son of God. And he, Jesus, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Okay, so now we didn't hear when Jesus was born, it was announced he was the Christ. Then we don't hear any more about him being Christ. We heard about it when he was 8 days old, but we don't hear any more about Jesus being Christ until he's in his public ministry and the demons knew exactly who he was. But Jesus muzzled those demons and he told them, he did not allow them to speak. He said, shut up. Don't tell that I am the Christ. So he put a muzzle on their mouths. And so we don't hear any more about Jesus being the Christ till we get to Luke chapter 9, which is where we are in our study, Luke chapter 9, verse 20. And we found out now the disciples now through the prayers of Jesus have come to know in part. They still need to know exactly what it means that Jesus is the Christ. But through the prayers of Jesus, they come to the knowledge now that Jesus is the Christ. It is said in Luke chapter 9, verse 20, he said to them, who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, you are the Christ of God. You are the Christ of God. And then Jesus said the same thing to the disciples and the same thing to Peter, who is a disciple, that he had said to the demons. So Peter and the other disciples, when you read the Gospels, the other disciples as well, are in agreement and consent that Jesus is King. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is the one that was promised, the promised seed that should come to rule and to reign. And so when the disciples say, you are the Christ of God, verse 21, Jesus said the same thing to him that he told those demons. He says, Jesus says in verse 21, and he, Jesus, strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to nobody. Don't tell anybody that I am the Christ. And so us today, we would sit here and we say, well, wow, that seems strange. Why is it that Jesus did not want it revealed or told that he was the Christ? Well, we'll talk about that. Whole Luke chapter 9 and because that's our home base scripture. But let's go to John chapter 6, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So we're going to John chapter 6. And when we go to John chapter 6, verse 15, John chapter 6. Now, John chapter 6, we have found out from our previous study, in this chapter is the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 men plus the women and the children. That great miracle, the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels, is the feeding of the multitude, the 5,000. And so after Jesus had fed, after Jesus had performed this great miracle, it says in John chapter 6, verse 13, therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, that's the multitude, all that great multitude of people, then those men, when they had seen the sign, the miracle, the wonder, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, that's the miracle, they said, this is truly the prophet who is come into the world. Now, remember when Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And some said, you are Elijah. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So we could see here in John chapter 6, verse 14, the crowd of people say, this is truly the prophet who is come into the world. And that was true. He was the prophet, which someday I'll teach on that. He is the prophet, capital P. But then they went on, verse 15, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they, the crowd, this crowd of people, these thousands of people, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. And so in light of what we're talking about, he is the Christ, but he told the demons, don't tell it. He told the disciples, don't tell it. At this point in his ministry, don't tell it. Keep it quiet. And we'll talk about why. But we see here in John chapter 6, the people wanted to come because Jesus had did this wonderful miracle and they wanted to come. They wanted to come, the crowd, the people, take Jesus, control Jesus, make them what they wanted him to be. Take him by force. They wanted to take him by force to make him king. Well, keep in mind, Jesus is the Lord's Christ. He is not man's Christ. He's going to rule according to how his Father has him to rule. He's going to reign according to how his Father has assigned it. And so when the people came to try to make him king, look what Jesus did. He departed. He went again to the mountain by himself alone. And why is that? Now you need to think about why come he did not allow them to make him king. Well, a good reason is now think about for a minute. Think about when Jesus was born a baby, when he was first born. And let's look at that. I think we're done with John. So let's go to Matthew. Let's go look and see what Matthew said in Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2. Now, you know, when you go to those early chapters in the Bible, in the Gospels, it has something to do with the birth of Jesus, except for John's Gospel. So Matthew, let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and I'm trying to get there. When we go to Matthew chapter 2, and beginning right there at verse 1, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, talking about Jesus, the Christ, the King, the awaited Messiah, the one that Israel had been waiting on for years, the one that had been prophesied, the one they were looking for. Now, Jesus Christ, Savior, but Jesus Christ, King, Messiah, King. So when you hear King, you automatically should think of ruling, reigning, and a throne. All right. So Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it reads, "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod." Herod, who was Herod? Herod was the king, small k. Herod was the king, right? We see that. Herod was the king. And here comes Jesus, born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, now Herod was the king of Israel. Herod, he was the king of Israel, small k, Herod. Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, now look what these wise men say. They say, "Where is he," capital H, "who has been born king of the Jews?" Now that would get Herod's attention, right? Because Herod is the king. And here come these wise men talking about, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Christ, the Christ. "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now we're going to finish reading this, but we're thinking about why Jesus told them to be quiet, why he silenced the demons, and why he silenced the disciples. "Don't tell anybody that I am king. I am Messiah. Keep it quiet for now." Now, it will come out later, and I'm going to show you that. But now keep it quiet, because you can see what happens. For it to have been revealed to the masses that he was indeed the Messiah would have caused all kinds of political chaos and confusion. And our God is a wise God. And he does things right. He does things deep. He does things in order. And he's working not merely on a human level. And so here, Jesus had told the disciples, be quiet. Well, look what happened when it was revealed, when Jesus was a baby, that he was born king of the Jews. Matthew chapter 2, verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, now you got to think, you have to think politics, think political. Because Messiah is political. It's a political title. King, you know, that's the government. "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." So you need to think politics in here, because this is what's happening. It's political. When Herod the king heard this, what did he hear? He heard that another king had been born, king of the Jews. When Herod heard this, he was troubled. See what happens? When it was revealed the Messiah had come, Herod was troubled. And all the other folks were too. All Jerusalem with him. And so we know the story. He gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He inquired of them where the Christ, not the Savior. He didn't care nothing about the Savior. He was caring about the Christ, where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler.'" There's the Christ again, a ruler who will shepherd. Now that's Messiah in there. Also, that's the Savior in there. Also Messiah, "who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod, when he secretly called the wise men, you know the story. Herod sent those wise men to go find the Christ. And verse 9, when they heard the king, small k, they departed. And then we know they went and they found Jesus the Christ, and they worshiped Jesus the Christ. Verse 13, Now when they had departed, that's the wise men, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And so when Jesus told those demons and the disciples, be quiet, what would have happened politically when you think about it, if it had been revealed to the masses that he indeed was Messiah, he indeed was king? Well, ultimately, men politically and the crowd would have killed him. And it was not time for Jesus to die. And he wasn't going to die that way. So he told them, be quiet, don't tell that I am the Christ, I am the King. And that's what played out when Jesus was this young child. And you know what ultimately happened here in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 says, Herod will seek the young child to destroy him, to kill him. Now, all of us know politics is ugly. It's always been ugly. And here it is right here in Matthew. Ugliness is in it. And Herod did not want someone, God or not, coming to be the king. Herod was the king. Okay. And then what ultimately happened in verse 16, Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under. And so we see here when it was revealed, let's go back to Luke chapter 9, when it was revealed that Jesus was the Christ, even as a baby, it stirred up the ugliness of the devil, and it ended in death. And so now here in Luke chapter 9, chapter 9, verse 20, when the disciples said, you are the Christ of God, Jesus told them, warned them, commanded them, don't tell anybody that I am the Christ. And we can see the reason why. It would have caused political confusion, a whole bunch of unnecessary things. And it would have ended in Jesus dying, but not a sacrificial death. He came to die, but to die on God's schedule, according to God's way, in God's time, as the Lamb of God. He came to die to be Savior of the world. And so keep it quiet right now. He's the Messiah. Keep it quiet right now. He's the King, because he must suffer and die. And so Luke chapter 9, when you look at verse 22, now Jesus is going to begin to fill in what it means for him to be the Lord's Christ. Now, man's Christ, if Jesus would have had any ounce of the fallen nature in him, and the people wanted to come and make him king, hey, make me king. You know, a lot of folks would have fallen for that. Yes, make me king. But Jesus is the Lord's Christ, and he has to do it God's way. And God's way, Luke chapter 9, verse 22, Jesus is talking and he says, saying, the Son of Man must suffer. He must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. So Messiah King, yes, he is, but be quiet for now. Be quiet for now, because he's come to die as Savior, to pay the price for sin. And so you don't hear any more about Jesus being called Christ. You can read Luke chapter 10, 11, 12, go all the way, and you will not see that title of Christ again. It drops off the scene until you get to right before Calvary. And so let's go to Palm Sunday. Now, Palm Sunday has a depth of meaning in it. But when we go to Palm Sunday, and let's go to Luke 19, Luke chapter 19. Now, you know, Palm Sunday is one week, and there's the beginning of Holy Week. And before the week is over with, Jesus will be crucified. So now at the end, right before Calvary, we're going to see now where the veil, as it were, he's going to reveal, as it were, he is the king. And he is going to allow this public worship of him as the king of the Christ. So we look at Luke chapter 19. Let me get to it. Luke chapter 19, and let's look at Palm Sunday starts at verse 28, what we call Palm Sunday. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And then it goes on talking. Let's skip on down. Verse 35. And they brought him, the donkey, to Jesus. And they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that he had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And so now Jesus allows, because it's right before Calvary, we're right at the start of Holy Week, the beginning of the end, as it were. And so now Jesus allows the praise and worship of him as the King. Blessed is the King. But look what immediately happens in verse 39. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And you go on and you see what happens. Well, let's go to Luke 22. Let's go on over to Luke chapter 22. Now you're going to hear a lot about the Christ, the Christ, the Christ, the Christ. And you're not going to hear about the Savior, the Savior, the Savior, because it is because of his, the Christ, that he was killed. But Jesus came to save. He came to save. Luke chapter 22. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Verse 66. Now, this is when the title now Christ comes out over and over and over and over again. Luke chapter 22, verse 60. Luke chapter 22, verse 66. I think that's the one I want. Luke chapter 22, verse 66. Let me turn my page. Luke 22, verse 66 says, let's start at 63. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is the one who struck you? Now this is, we know he's in his crisis and his sufferings now. And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said, if I tell you, you will by no means believe it. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, are you then the Son of God? So he said to them, you rightly say that I am. And so there, what has led now, what is leading on to death is the fact he is the Christ from man's viewpoint. God comes, Jesus comes to save, and he comes as the King. He still will be the King, but he has to do it God's way. No cross, no crown. That's how God has ordained it. He must suffer Why? Because he came more than just for mere political, natural reasons. He came to save. He came to destroy the power of the devil. He came to redeem mankind. He came to pay the price for sin. So in Luke chapter 22, we see, oh, they're upset because he is the Christ. He has said he is the Christ. So let's look at verse 71. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation. See, that's why he told those disciples back there in chapter 9, be quiet, don't tell anybody. Because see what happens when it's revealed he is the Christ? Verse 20, chapter 23, verse 2, Luke. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. So see, that's what's pushing it on towards Calvary, towards the death. And you know, our God, he's a wise God, mighty man of battle, and God is working all of this. You know, no man takes my life. Jesus told us that. But from the natural standpoint, it was when Jesus said he is the Christ that is leading on to his death. So that was Luke 23, verse 2. Verse 3 said, then Pilate asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? He answered him and said, it is as you say. In other words, yes, I am. I am king of the Jews. So let's look at verse 35, Luke chapter 23. Let's go on over to verse 35. Luke chapter 23, verse 35. I see we only have 5 minutes. Luke chapter 23, verse 35. And the people, well, let's read 33. We have to read 33. Luke 23, 33. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. So I believe you can see why Jesus told those demons back in chapter 4, be quiet, don't tell anybody I'm the Christ. And then why Jesus told those disciples, be quiet, don't tell anyone that I am the Christ. Because that would have caused an early death. And it would cause all kinds of unnecessary things to happen. And Jesus had to live in obedience to his Father, do it God's way, move by the means that God had told him to do it through death. Jesus humbled himself. That's what Philippians says. Philippians says, wherefore Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Then you turn it over. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. So the exaltation comes through the death. So in our ending today, I think you all, we're going to have a part 3, the Christ of God part 3, because I am not finished and I feel the Lord says he wants me to continue. So next week will be part 3. Now we still have 3 minutes here, so let me keep going. Now I'm going to turn the corner a little bit. Let's look where the Jews had been anticipating Messiah to come. It has been promised, prophesied early on in Genesis that Messiah, a ruler, a king would come that would usher in God's rule and reign on this earth through Israel, throughout the whole world. And so the Jews have been anticipating the Messiah to come. And we see that. Let's go quickly to John chapter 1. Let's go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Let's go to John chapter 1. And when you look at John chapter 1, starting at verse 35, John chapter 1, beginning at verse 35, John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day, John, that's John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples. John the Baptist had two disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." That's the Savior. The Lamb, that's also associated with Jesus, Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb of God. "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard John the Baptist say that, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" Verse 30, he said to them, well, verse 38, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Verse 39, he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John the Baptist speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Way back, even before Peter was called into discipleship, he had heard something. Verse 40, one of the two who heard him speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. See, they had been looking for Messiah, anticipating Messiah, and they had found the Messiah. Also, quickly, let's go to John chapter 4, and then we have to close. John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Now, if we could count how many sermons we've heard about the woman at the well, we have heard many sermons about her. But John chapter 4, verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And then she goes on talking and she says, and Jesus says in verse 24, "God is spirit and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ." And so I end today by saying the Jews were waiting for Messiah to come, and he did come, but the Lord had silenced them from saying it because it had would have brought on an early death, and he came also to be the Lamb of God. So we're going to continue next week. I encourage you, we're going to look at Peter's response from Matthew 16 on next week. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Be with us through this week and keep us in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's our class, everyone.
Thank you.
If I don't have your email, some of you, I don't know you, which is good, but I need your email. Please email me, vsanders875@centurylink.net. God bless you.
Awesome class this morning, Miss Velma. Awesome class.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
He's the Christ. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
God bless everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Have a blessed week.
You as well.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Everybody. God bless everybody.
Yes.